Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Sidery. I'm joined by Zach Hicks of Stampede Blue today for our episode talking all about the Colts secondary this year in 2020. Zach, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, man. You know, it's a crazy world right now, as always. Every time I jump on recently, I can say the same thing. But I'm going good, man. I'm doing good for all things considering right now. Hope you're doing good too, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I know football is just right around the corner here, which is exciting. I know many listeners out there are anxiously looking forward to seeing the Colts play this year in 2020. Fans or not, that's still up in the air as far as if fans will be in the stand this year for fans of Lucas Oil Stadium. But we're going to talk, like I mentioned, about the Colts secondary today, Zach. And I want to start off with Xavier Rhodes because we hit on this when it first happened back in March, signing him, releasing Pierre Desir. The more you thought about it, what is your overall opinion of how Xavier Rhodes is going to fit into this zone scheme?
I think it's going to fit a lot better than you know, many people are going to talk about. Because I know, you know, Rhodes last year, I know he's a Pro Bowler. So if you look at it just like that, it's kind of tough to really say how he was last year. But by almost all metrics, he struggled a lot last year. You know, he's obviously fallen off from the All-Pro days that he had, I think, back in 2017 when he was an All-Pro corner. He's a different player now. You know, last year he really didn't have the juice that you would like to see from a corner. You know, he really struggled in off man and really carrying guys down the field. He looked like, you know, he looked a step slower than a lot of players. But I think getting into this cover two scheme is really going to be a big benefit to him. You know, when the cover two type scheme, you know, the Colts play very heavy cover two. He's not really going to have to be covering guys down the field as often and not really be left on that island that he kind of was at times with the Vikings last year. You know, there's obviously still going to be moments where he's going to be in, you know, press man coverage, off man coverage, and he's going to have to body or, like, you know, stand up and cover a guy. But I think it's going to be very beneficial for him to be in this cover two system where he can kind of play with the ball in front of him, not really with his back to the ball and trying to chase these receivers. He's at his best when he has the ball in front of him, when he can come downhill and make physical plays and be physical at the line. I think it can definitely work out. There's definitely some room to be concerned with, you know, his struggles last year with the lack of juice he had in his step. Maybe that was injury related, but we don't really know right now. So there are reasons to be concerned, but, you know, on paper, he's reuniting with his defensive backs coach they had in Minnesota when he had his success. He's going to a more favorable scheme, and he's not really going to be asked to be the number one guy. You know, Kenny Moore is going to be one of the top guys when he's out there. Rockison, hopefully, will kind of not, I wouldn't say like shadow top receivers, but he'll mostly line up on the top receiver side. So there's not going to be that much pressure on Rhodes to really be what he was in Minnesota a couple years ago. He just has to be a solid starting corner for this team. And I think he can definitely do that in this type of scheme that really helps his abilities.
You hit on it there, Zach, with Rakia Sin, also Marvell tell you the film study on as well. It's going to be on Stampede Blue. What are those two young guys going to be able to learn from a player like Xavier Rhodes? Because obviously they have kind of the same physical attributes there. Rhodes is a very long corner, very aggressive. It feels like this is a good learning experience for Tell and a player like Rocky Ascent to really start to ascend in the final half of last year.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, starting with Rocky Ascent, I think this is a player that really could be learning from somebody like Xavier Rhodes, because Rhodes is a player who really fits the same kind of dementia, the same type of game. You know, like Rockison, no one would ever say that he's a burner out there. He's not going to be the fastest guy in the world, but he does a lot of the same things as you said. You know, they're both kind of wrestler type guys where they're very physical. So I think that's the type of player that, you know, Yusin can really learn from is that physical ability that Rhodes has, that ability to kind of play at best with the ball in front of him. But I think, you know, obviously, I don't want to say Yusin can be better than what Rhodes was when Rhodes wasn't all pro, but I think Yusin has a lot more potential, obviously, going forward right now than Rhodes does, because I think he just is better at the line still currently, and I think his athleticism is much better than what Rhodes is right now. So I think there's a lot to learn that Yusin can really learn from a guy like Rhodes with his ability, but I also think there's definitely a lot of room for Yusin to get better and really get to that higher level that we kind of saw last year, late in the year.
What I think really is getting slept on, Zach, and what I noticed amongst Colts Twitter too, is everyone keeps coming back to that Denver game for Rocky Sin, but you've pointed this out multiple times in the show, as I have too, that he really has done very well for himself ever since that game. Over the last eight games of the year, he was very good in coverage, not a lot of mistakes like we saw in the first part of the year. Are you expecting that leap for Rocky Sin? And if he does take that leap, what will that do for this defense?
Oh, it's huge. I actually think I said the other day that he has to be one of the X factors here. Like, obviously behind Phillip Rivers and maybe behind T.Y. Hilton as well. But I would say arguably the most important player to kind of break out this year and have a really good season is Rocky Sin, because, you know, the defense has a lot of good players in place. You know, on the defense line, they got DeForest Buckner and Justin Houston, where, you know, even if the young guys don't really pan out the way that we think they are, even though I think they will, they have two guys that are going to produce pretty much no matter what. And you can say the same thing at the linebacker group with Darius Leonard and maybe even Bobby Okereke and Anthony Walker. I think those guys are going to be really good. And even at the safety group, I think Kari Willis and Malik Hooker, at their worst, are still going to be solid safeties. When you look at the cornerback group, they really need a player to step up and be, you know, I want to say good, but hopefully better than even good, you know, like above average this year. Because, you know, that group, if you take away, you know, if you have everyone playing at like an average level, that group is not that strong. You know, there's a lot of guys that are kind of question marks in that group. So Rocky Sin is a player who they really need to step up this year. But I really think he can. You know, like you said, after the Denver game, his season really turned around, which is really rare for a young corner. You know, usually you'll see a young corner kind of get in his head a little too much. And after a game like that, we'll go on to have a worse season than what he was having. But Yassin kind of took that performance and turned it into a bunch of really strong ones game after game. You know, I think the next week was the Pittsburgh game. I think he got beat for one deep ball. But besides that, he was really strong. And then the Miami game and Jacksonville games, he was just locked down. And the rest of the year kind of just continued that way. So, yeah, I think sky's the limit for Rocky Sin. I think he'd be a really good corner in this league. And last year I was really, really impressed with how he finished the year. I mean, by almost every metric, the Pro Football Focus, you know, charts for outside corners, you know, like yards per target and all that kind of stuff. And also if you look at his run defense and tackling, all that was pretty high towards the end of last year. So, yeah, I think he can be a really good corner in this league. And I think, you know, the way that he was able to turn around, you know, after a horrible performance like that, and really step up and play really well, I think that's super promising for his future.
Obviously, in the Colts-based defense, Kenny Moore is not going to be going out really any snaps, almost like a Darius Leonard type of this Colts defense. But would it surprise you at all, Zach, if Rocky Sin comes into camp and beats out a player like Xavier Rhodes, just because he's a veteran and one of their big signs of the offseason that Xavier Rhodes kind of is slotted in as that other in the base defense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think as of right now, Rocky Sin is ahead of Xavier Rhodes on the depth chart. I mean, if he would be if it were me. I think, you know, if you look at the last 10 games of last year, or even if you look at the whole season, I would probably say Rocky Sin played better than Xavier Rhodes. You know, if you just look at the Pro Bowl number, you know, Rhodes got in the Pro Bowl last year, obviously it would say something different. But I really do think Rocky Sin had a better season last year than Xavier Rhodes after watching, you know, every single snap that both those guys played last year. So, yeah, currently I would say based off of last year's film, I would probably have Sin as a starter based off of upside. And based off of what I think they're going to do this next year, I'd probably have Yassin starting over Rhodes as well. I think Yassin just gives you, you know, better potential and also a better floor out there based off what we saw last year.
Looking at Marvell Tell for a second, Zach, a player I think is super intriguing. When you go back and watch the film, I think he's very solid. He doesn't have a lot of mistakes on his end, and he's only 23 years old, so he turns 24 next week and have a chance to learn for a full year under a veteran like Xavier Rhodes. What do you think of Tell entering into 2020 and beyond? Because I feel like this could be a player that he's solid and he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, where he could really, if the Colts don't address his knee in free agency or the draft next year, that he could be in that base defense opposite Rocky Sin and Kenny Moore next year.
Yeah, you know, I think you said it best when you said intriguing, because right now that's kind of what he is. You know, I wouldn't put him out there as a starter right now, which I'm glad they signed Xavier Rhodes, where, you know, I'd rather take a chance on a guy like Rhodes coming back to at least a solid level corner than kind of rushing Marvell Tell out there. You know, Tell, you know, he played safety throughout all of college. He probably should have been playing corner since day one there at USC. He was a corner in high school. He has that cornerback background. He should have been playing corner there throughout college, but they kind of stunted his development a little bit. But the Colts were right to move him back to corner, and he played really well last year. And there was a lot of things to like. You know, if you look at his tackle efficiency and run stops and such in the five games that he played, you can make the argument that he was, if you extrapolate that out to a full season, that he was the best run defending corner in football last year. You know, obviously it was a small sample size. He only really started those five games, but he did really well in run defense and tackling. He was really solid in that department, which you kind of expect from a former safety. And then when you look at other parts of his game, you know, I really think he looked good, and especially in the cover two zone. He really looked comfortable playing with the ball in front of him, and especially in those shorter zones. You know, when you're a safety, you have to cover so much of the field, and I think he struggled a lot of that in college. But when he was in those shorter zones and those flat zones and the cover two kind of or the stick zones, he was able to really read that short area of the field and come up and make some plays. So I really liked him in zone. And then even in press man, he had some really good reps where he's able to get his hands on receivers and really disrupt the timing. The biggest issue that I have with Tell and the reason why, you know, right now I would say play Rhodes over him more and definitely keep Rhodes out there a little bit more than him right now is, you know, he really does struggle in that off man coverage. And I don't think it's an athleticism thing because he's a great athlete. It's mostly to do with technique and confidence and just, you know, being comfortable with where he is on the field. And I think that's just going to come with time and really working with these other corners and working with the coaching staff here. But as of right now, it's a big issue. And I know he gave up, I think it was a passer rating of 110 when targeted in man coverage last year, according to Pro Football Focus. So that's definitely an issue. But I do think the, you know, potential is really high with him. And I really like what he did last year, especially being a safety convert to corner. So I'm intrigued by him. I think that's the best way to describe it, intrigued. I'm not going to put all my chips in that basket right now, but I think he can be a good player for this team for a long time.
Now, Zach, let me ask you this, because you're the captain of this train, and I'm on there with you, too. I think a lot of Colts fans are as well with Kenny Moore, but why does he keep getting so disrespected nationally? Like, no one ever talks about Kenny Moore, even though he's the highest-paid slot corner in the NFL. He's one of the more versatile chess pieces in a secondary. Why does Kenny Moore keep flying under the radar, and he's putting up some monster numbers the last couple of years?
Yeah, man, I've been fighting this fight for a while, even before he became, you know, the highest paid slot corner in football. I've loved Kenny Moore for a long time, dating back to before last season started. I don't know, you know, at the beginning of last year and kind of as last year was going along, you know, in 2018, that is, you know, I was fighting the good fight saying, like, he needs more recognition league-wide. And then in 2019, it kind of hit me one day where it's like, maybe it's just the slot corner position in general doesn't get enough hype. And I think that's kind of what the issue is. You know, slot corners aren't a separate position in terms of Pro Bowl voting, all pro, well, kind of a little bit in all pro, but mostly in, you know, Pro Bowl voting and everything like that. Even Madden started putting slot corner as a position like a year ago. So a lot of people don't know the difference between outside corner and a slot corner. And the way that I describe it, it's like comparing a safety to an outside corner. You know, it's just so different, so vastly different. They do so many different things. You know, like, for instance, Kenny, he's responsible for playing not only slot defender, but he blitzes a lot. He plays kind of like a big linebacker role a lot in run defense. He's right. He's like kind of in the box for most of the game, being physical there. And that's why he has the most run stops in the NFL the last 2 years among all corners. But yeah, there's just a lot of elements to playing slot corner that the outside cornerback doesn't really have to face. So I think Kenny will start getting his recognition when we start realizing that a slot corner is different from an outside corner. Because, you know, when we get these lists of top cornerbacks in the NFL, it's always 10 guys who are outside boundary guys. And I'm not saying that boundary guys aren't better than slot guys, but, you know, slot guys need their own list too, because they just do so many different things out there. So I think once we start acknowledging slot position as a different position altogether than outside or boundary corner, then I think a guy like Kenny will get his recognition, because he just does it all for this defense. And in my opinion, before the trade for DeForest Buckner, I think he was the most valuable player on that defense. And I'll still say to this day, you know, he is the second most valuable player. And the Colts DVOA, their defensive value adjusted from Football Outsiders dropped tremendously when he missed those last couple games last year. So he's a great player, and he's going to be with this team for a super long time. And I wrote about it the other day, like I think a couple weeks ago. You couldn't pick a better player to be the face of this defense or be a superstar for this team. I mean, he just a great guy, a great player, great story coming from such a small college. So yeah, all around, love Kenny Moore. And you know, even if they don't recognize him nationally, you know, we all recognize him here in Indy. I think we're all in universal agreement now that he's such a great player.
What are your expectations, Zach, for Kenny Moore heading into 2020-2021? Because he feels like one of those linchpins there. Like, he has to stay healthy, of course. And I think also him just being able to benefit off DeForest Buckner, I think it's going to be huge for him as well. What's your thoughts on him heading into 2020 overall from a player standpoint? How he's going to impact this defense with a player like Buckner now on board?
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's someone who directly gets impacted as much as, say, like a Malik Hooker or Justin Houston when it comes to Buckner. I think it's going to be a lot of business as usual for Kenny. Obviously, it's going to be a little easier for him because he's such a good playmaker. When you have more disruption up front and a better pass rush, those things really do help a corner like Kenny. But, you know, overall, I think it's going to be business as usual for Kenny. I think he's going to go out there and kind of be as good as he's always been. I don't really expect anything less at this point. You know, we've seen it for 2 years now. It'd be crazy to think he's not going to keep it up for a third year here. And, you know, he's been playing at a Pro Bowl level the last 2 years. They just don't have that distinction for a slot corner going into the Pro Bowl. So I hope that, you know, he gets the recognition that he deserves and gets into one this year, but we'll have to see. You know, it's really competitive when you lump outside corners and slot corners together, but he definitely deserves to make the Pro Bowl. If we were picking between most worthy players, for sure.
Looking at a weird offseason from Malik Hooker, Zach, where trade rumors were all around. We saw him not disliking posts about, like, liking tweets about, like, not wanting to be there anymore. It was a lot of interesting stuff from Malik Hooker. And then this offseason, the Colts, of course, declined his fifth-year option. The further away you get from that decision, Zach, what's been your thoughts on that? Because I think it's the writing's on the wall, so to say, especially for drafting Julian Black in the third round, that this more than likely not is Malik Hooker's last year in Indy. But what kind of prove it year do you expect from him?
Yeah, so it's a tough situation. I think when you talk about, like, the Instagram posts and stuff, I think people do kind of read a little too much into it. You know, people, these players are people too. They have feelings. So he was probably just upset that one day about, you know, everything that was going on and you know, kind of took it to social media a little bit. But I think people overreact a little bit to that. I do things in haste that I wouldn't normally do when I think about it. So I don't really put too much into that. But going over to the whole decision not to pick up that option, I mean, I would have picked it up personally. I think he's played well enough to deserve the deal, and it wouldn't even been that big of a contract for 1 year, so I would have picked it up. But I completely get the decision behind it. You know, Hooker has been, to a degree, a disappointment. I think he was a solid safety last year. He definitely had some mistakes on the back end, but I do think he's a really solid safety in this league. Definitely not the guy they expect him to be, but really solid. And I think this is kind of them trying to get a wake-up call from, you know, they've done this before in the past with players where they've cut them or benched them for a game or two to see kind of how they respond to it. So it's kind of a way to, you know, see how he's going to respond to it and see if he steps up this year. And I think, you know, all of the things are pointing for him to have a good year. You know, DeForest Buckner's addition, there's going to be more offenses that are going to be a little off page with each other because of this whole offseason being limited. So that could lead to more, you know, miscommunications and more throws kind of coming his way and being off timing. So I think there's going to be a lot of good things going for Malik Hooker this year, and I think he could have a really good year. I'm not necessarily going to say that the writing's on the wall with the addition of Blackman. I think there is a way that Blackman, Kari Willis, and Hooker can all exist together. But, it's definitely they're kind of a wake-up call. You know, not picking up that option and drafting Blackman are kind of saying, like, this is it, kind of, like, you know, this is the year to produce. So I think he's going to have a solid year. I hope it's kind of a really good year and a breakout year for him, but we'll have to kind of see come the first Sunday.
Speaking of Kari Willis, Zach, I think he's one of the more underrated defenders on this Colts team because he's just so smart, instinctual. He's a lot better version than what Clayton Gathers was with his tenure at the Colts. I think he's just a more souped-up version of that and more really high football IQ where you can see him not making many mistakes in coverage. He's a very solid tackler, and he's just a good, solid all-around leader of this defense, I think, already. As far as being a communicator in the back end there, Zach, what do you think of Willis heading into year two? Because I think he's one of the more underrated pieces. I think there's a chance, honestly, Zach, he could take a leap too.
Yeah, and, you know, actually, when I talked to Anthony Walker in an interview like a month ago, he did pick his breakout player as Kari Willis. She said that, you know, with everything that Willis went through last year as a rookie and the way that he played with all that, he thinks that Willis could take a huge step and be their breakout player on defense this year. And, you know, I do agree with that. You know, Kari Willis was excellent last year. I've been raving about him a lot on Twitter the last couple of days. And the biggest thing that really, like, just popped out to me, again, is his instincts and his awareness and just his ability to diagnose run plays before they even happen. And I think that already sets him as a great base for a strong safety. I think he's going to be a really good strong safety regardless of what happens for the duration of his entire career. The big thing that we're going to be looking for this year, though, with him is, can he make that step? You know, I would say, like, right now, he's kind of like a Kenny Vaccaro type, you know, where he's a really good run defender. He can make some plays in the pass game, but Vaccaro just never really was a playmaker, you know, didn't get those big interceptions or really get those forced fumbles and stuff and really be a difference maker. I think that's where we're really going to have to see the next step from Kari Willis this year. You know, can he be a little bit more consistent in coverage, and can he, you know, force those turnovers? I think he had like 2 dropped interceptions last year. You know, I'm not obviously holding that against him. You know, the plays happen so fast. Obviously, guys drop it. I think Okereke had like 5 dropped ones last year. But you know, that's where we need to see the next step from. Is he going to be this really solid, strong safety for his entire career, which is, you know, as a fourth round pick, that's, there's nothing wrong with that. Or is he going to step up and be, you know, their all around playmaking safety and really be an impact player for this defense? So, you know, that's going to be the big thing to watch. But as of right now, I really like what we got out of him. I think he's already a steal for a fourth round pick and one of the best picks of Ballard's tenure already. And I think, you know, he can only get better from here. I don't really see him or envision him getting any worse from this level. I think this is a great floor he's at. It's just seeing if he can turn that corner and become a playmaker as well. So I'm really excited for him. I think he's got a great head on his shoulders and he's a really tough player. And he's just going to be perfect for this team for a while.
Another underrated piece who doesn't get a lot of mention because he doesn't play as much as these other players that we've mentioned, Zach, but I keep coming back to that Kansas City game, and I don't think the Colts win in Kansas City if George Omis made a couple of plays that he did in that game, the forced fumble, the fourth down tackle. What do you think of George Odom heading into this season? Because I think he's a player that maybe the Colts thought to themselves, you know, we've been undrafted player at George Omis, proved himself year in, year out. And maybe that's why they declined Malik Hooker's option. Probably not the sole reason there, but he's proven himself well in these three safety sets, Zach, where he could be a player who's versatile to play both strong and free safety and do well in that.
Oh, absolutely. And it was funny. I remember, I think it was after 2018 in the offseason, I had a dream one night where George Odom was playing for the Ravens a couple years down the road. And ever since then, I've had this fear that, you know, in a couple of years, you know, with the Colts getting guys like Willis and maybe extending Hooker and Blackman, that Odom's just going to go to some other team. He's going to be a really good player for another team. And I think he just gives off those vibes. You know, when you watch his film, you know, his rookie year, he made a lot of dumb mistakes. You know, there were some penalties after the play. There were a couple of very blatant misses and over pursuits from him. But this last year, even though he only played about 20% of the snaps at best, he was outstanding. I mean, every single time he's out there, you don't have any sense of this guy is an undrafted free agent or a liability whatsoever. I mean, he's in the right position all the time. He's a good hitter. He's a good tackler. Forced two fumbles, which were really big plays at the time in those games. So, yeah, I really like George Odom. I've talked about this since his rookie year, but this past year he was even better. And, I think he can just keep getting better. And I think, again, that was another reason why I made that Malik Hooker decision a little bit easier for them because – you know, when they look at it, they're like, okay, we obviously they didn't have Blackman at the time, but they were probably targeting a safety. And then on top of that, you know, they had Odom and Kari Willis, who are really two really interesting young players who are playing really well. So, yeah, I think Odom can be a piece for a long time with this team. Hopefully he gets more of an opportunity before he eventually hits free agency and might potentially go somewhere else like my fear dream had. But, yeah, I really want to see him get some more opportunities. Obviously, I want to see what Blackman and Willis and Hooker have, but I want to see Odom out there too. I have not seen many bad things from him this last year, and I think he was a really strong player for the team, especially that Kansas City game. You know, the forced fumble against Sean McCoy, had a couple of really nice tackles just short of the sticks that really saved some big yardage as well. So, yeah, I think Odom can be a really good player in this league as well.
Yeah, Odom is entering the final year of his contract this year. He's making around $700,000. So let's hope that the Colts keep him around because I'm with you, Zach. I think he is a very solid, underrated piece to this defense as a rotational player. But the final player I had on this list in the safety group before we dive into your overall thoughts on this entire group themselves is Julian Blackman, the Colts' third-round draft pick this year out of Utah. I get the chance to go back and watch him, Zach, at all this during this COVID-19 duration of no sports. What's been your thoughts of watching Julian Blackman? Because former corner – converted to safety, did really well in that role. And obviously the Colts have really high expectations for him in a free safety type role. Chris Ballard said he believes he's a legit free safety in this league. So what's your expectation for Blackman this year? Because obviously you probably won't see him. We'll probably start on the pup list. So we probably won't see him until the second half of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. It was actually weird. I've kind of been studying him mostly as a free safety this offseason. And, you know, I do like him for that role. I think he can be really good in that role with his athleticism, his playmaking ability. But I think it was Jake Arthur that pointed out to me yesterday. You know, Jake Arthur works for Colts.com. He said he really likes Blackman in that Roland Milligan role. And if you guys aren't familiar with that, Roland Milligan last year played a lot of – it's kind of like a hybrid safety, hybrid corner late last season, especially when Kenny was out with injury. And I think that's a really interesting role for him because I think, you know, I don't want to see him as a full-time corner, but I think he can play a little bit of, you know, slot corner and kind of be that mix-and-match guy and be a hybrid type that way. So I think there's a lot of interesting things they can do with him. And I think that's another reason why, you know, Malik Hooker, Kari Willis, George Odom, and even Julian Blackman, I think all of them could coexist together and still get some snaps. But I'm really interested in Julian Blackman. I think he does have a lot of talent. There were some struggles last year in Utah that that definitely concerned me a little bit. You know, the game against USC was a big concern for the whole Utah defense, and Blackman was no exception to that. But, I think he can be a really good player too. I mean, I know I've said this about all these players, and it's interesting because this is the position group that I would personally say, I would say safety and, well, maybe not safety, but corner, just secondary overall is probably their weakest spot on defense. But I do like the upside of a lot of these guys, just seeing where they hit and how they can kind of come into their own. Because, you know, Blackman starting on the PUP list as a rookie is going to be a bit of a struggle for him. I'm sure it's a struggle for anyone as a rookie who goes through injuries and then kind of getting up to speed like that. But, I think he has a talent. I think he can play kind of a hybrid corner or safety spot or even be a good free safety too. So we'll have to see kind of how his development goes. But I do enjoy his film. I think he can be a pretty solid player for this team.
Zach, this is a very young and unproven secondary so far. I know Kenny Moore is the stalwart here, but Xavier Rhodes, you did rely on a bounce back here, a couple leaps from young guys like Rakia Sen, Kari Willis, maybe Julian Blackman surprised late in the year. But what do you think are the expectations overall for this group in 2020? Because we've hit on it many a times with DeForest Buckner, where if this front four takes that lead four, there's going to be a lot less pressure on the secondary.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the biggest thing I would say about the secondary is I know on paper it's their weakest spot on defense. And, you know, honestly, maybe besides quarterback with the question marks of the Rivers, if he's washed or not, it might be their biggest question mark on their whole roster right now is how well the secondary can play. Because it's really contingent on a lot of young players playing well. You know, it's going to rely heavily on, you know, can Rocky Sin take that next step and go from, you know, oh, that was a good rookie season to, okay, this is a good corner in this league. Or can Kari Willis go from solid run defending safety to playmaking safety? Can Malik Hooker turn it around and become what they drafted? And it was a lot of ifs. You know, Kenny Moore is probably the only consistent that we currently have in that secondary right now. And he's great, but you need a little bit more than that right now. So I would say expectations, though, personally for me, you know, I'm not going to say much about Rhodes or Hooker because I think there's so many ways that those two could go this year. But I really do think, you know, I personally believe that Rocky Sin and Kari Willis take that next step and really do solidify themselves as maybe even better than solid players, you know, like above average, just good players in this league. I think they both have that potential. I think they can both be really good. And I think if both of them hit that, this defense can be really good this year because that's really what they need. You know, their linebacker group is going to be good. Their defensive line is going to be good. But the biggest question is how good can that secondary be? And if Kari Willis and Rocky Sin step up along with the high-level play we're going to get from Kenny Moore, I think that's a good enough group to win some games and have a really productive defense. So I'm optimistic. I'm not going to say I'm confident like I am with the D-line and linebacker group. I'm very optimistic, though. And again, I think Gissin and Willis take that next step and really help this defense turn the corner.
Zach, always appreciate talking to you, man. I appreciate you helping us break down the secondary today. One of the more intriguing positional groups for this Colts team, I know the 2020-2021 season. You guys can follow Zach on Twitter if you have not already, at Zach Hicks 2. And go read his work, as always, over on Stampede Blue. Zach, appreciate the time, man.
Of course, man. Anytime you want me on, I'd love to talk secondary or anything Colts related.